And the Bible simply is this, that if we suffer with Christ, we shall also reign with him. It's about weighing up the truth that the present affliction is but for a moment, but that it worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. So everything that happens to you and me as Christians and believers in this world, it's working rewards, it's working an increase. It's like planting seed. There's going to be a great harvest, and that harvest will be reaped whenever we enter into the glory of heaven. This is how we minister in bereavement and loss for a Christian. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, and I trust that today the Lord will draw near and bless. We're going to be speaking on the wonderful subject of what is heaven, our home, the place that we dream about, that we live for, that we long for, and we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus, that we might be led into that glorious home prepared for God's saints. If you're a Christian today, I trust that this will be a subject that will delight your heart. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, I need to encourage you to realize that it is worth it all, even to suffer for Jesus' name and sake, that you might have part in heaven and home. What if you gain the world and lose your soul? What if you have all the best here on earth, but spend all eternity in a Christless hell? That is the good reason to be a Christian and to endure whatever, that you might have part in the glory land that is prepared for those that know and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay tuned now for the subject today, what is heaven? Let's stand to pray for a little moment, and we'll just still our hearts in the Lord's holy presence and ask that he'll minister to us. Lord, help us as we come to your word today. And as we think about heaven, that land, that home to which you're calling us, where Jesus dwells, and Father, where thou art seated on the throne of glory, and the Savior at thy right hand, and all the angels gathered around ministering to thee day and night, and the souls of believers, the elders, and the souls of just men made perfect. O Lord, give us a sight of the glory today. Make us homesick for heaven. And grant, Lord, that you will be with us as we open and handle your word. Speak to us and bless us. Give help, Lord. Give help to me and to every hearer today. In our Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, it should be a lot easier today to preach on the subject of what is heaven than last subject of what is hell. But when you get to it, it may be not that easy, because heaven is presented to us in ways that really eliminate things. There are no mores. There's no night there. There's no sorrow. There's no tears. There's no more this. There's no more that. And we're left with a great expanse of trying to grapple and understand what heaven is really like. Last week, we also started with the scene of the dying thief and one who was lost and who knew not the Lord. Well, today we can also start with the other dying thief, because the Lord promised to him that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that dying thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he had faith to believe that there is another world beyond this world. There is a kingdom for the saints that is beyond the kingdom of this earth. And the Lord had no hesitancy. No, he didn't even introduce him to anything. He just said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And those were wonderful words. And they lead us to the doctrine that we can all lay hold upon for our own hearts, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's absolutely nothing between the dying breath of a Christian and the kingdom of glory where Jesus reigns with his Father. And it is true that Christians sleep in Jesus. We just go to sleep and our souls are taken right into glory. Now, those words are in themselves powerful, but the real punch behind them is not just the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, it is his resurrection. Because if the tomb was still containing the body of the Lord Jesus, and all the tourist industry was taking people and saying, well, let's gather on the tomb, inside this tomb behind that rock are the remains of that man called Jesus, who talked about heaven and talked about his heavenly Father and said he was going to save the world and so on. Really, heaven would be a kind of a bad joke if the body of our Lord Jesus was still in the tomb and he was not risen. And it is only because Jesus is risen and because he has announced immortality that we can have this assurance that we too are going to heaven, because the immortality of Christ is our immortality. He will return and raise us to a new life and to a new glory. And we know too that this resurrection message to the disciples, even to Thomas the doubter, when he saw the living Lord Jesus, what a hope and what a joy it brought to his heart. And to the other disciples who went forth preaching this glorious gospel. And the Bible simply is this, that if we suffer with Christ, we shall also reign with him. It's about weighing up the truth that the present affliction is but for a moment, but that it worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. So everything that happens to you and me as Christians and believers in this world, it's working rewards, it's working an increase. It's like planting seed. There's going to be a great harvest, and that harvest will be reaped whenever we enter into the glory of heaven. This is how we minister in bereavement and loss for a Christian, that we do not sorrow as others who sorrow without hope, but that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that he's coming again, and he's coming with the saints, that he is going to raise us up. And there is this resurrection hope in the heart of every born again Christian. And therefore, we're going home to heaven. That's our hope. That's our gospel. That's our message. But today we want to come to, well, what is heaven? And what is heaven like? And how homesick should I be for my eternal home with God? Today I want to take a little acrostic, the letters H-E-A-V-E-N, and we start first of all with H. H is heaven is our home. Christians say that we're not of this world. We're just passing through. My home is in glory. The Lord Jesus himself said that he's not of this world, that he came down from heaven, that he came to be the bread of God that came down from heaven. And of course, he talked about his Father's house. And he said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So there is the home which the Lord Jesus has promised to every one of his people. And so when we talk about a Christian that has died, when we get the news that someone who is a true believer in the Lord Jesus, we will be able to say, well, he's gone home. That brother, that sister, that believer in the Lord Jesus, they've gone home. And what a hope, what an encouragement that is to us. Now, as we get down to this of what is heaven and heaven as our home, what is heaven home to? There is a passage in the Bible in Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 24, and it really sets out a list of things that are in heaven. Very helpful passage, and I'm not taking away from Revelation 21, but there are a lot of things there that it's very difficult to get a handle on. But in Hebrews 12, verse 22, there are specific things that are mentioned, things that are in heaven. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, And there is a list of six things. You can get a handle on these. You can number them. You can put headers on them. You can itemize them, each one. And it really helps us to understand what heaven is. And it says to us here in verse 22, ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem. Now that's in keeping with Revelation 21 that we read, a city with 12 gates, a city with 12 walls, a city four square, and it is called the heavenly Jerusalem. But you'll notice that in that home, that it is home to the holy angels, an innumerable company of angels. Now, heaven is home to angels without number. There's not enough computers to log them in or log them out. They are without number, and they are active. They are the good angels that never sin. They never fail. They're sometimes referred to as the elect angels because God appointed them to eternal life, whereas the other angels that fail, the wicked angels, were appointed to their destiny. These angels never rebelled. They never joined up with Lucifer, the devil. They never signed up to revolt against God, but they have been loyal lovers of God from all eternity. They are pure from wingtip to wingtip. And every one of these angels faithfully serve God day and night. They do not know what it is to disobey. They have never disobeyed God in all their lives. They are therefore holy angels, and they're happy angels, and they serve Him all the time. These angels minister to God, and they also minister to the redeemed. God uses them in His service to the church, to the redeemed of God. They are therefore ministering angels to the subjects of redemption. And that's where they live. They dwell in heaven. And we have passages in Revelation that describe those angels' activity gathering around the throne. They sing the praises of God, honor, glory unto the Father's great and holy name. So heaven is home to the angels. Heaven is also home to the heavenly church, called here the General Assembly of the Firstborn. And these are the saints of all time. There's only one church in heaven. There are no denominations in heaven. There's no competition. There's no list of churches in this city. This is a place where there is one church, one people, one gathering of the redeemed, and they all unite together in the worship of God. Abram will be there, Noah, Abel, all the men, women that are listed in Hebrews 11, all the Old Testament saints, the elders of the Old Testament are there, and the apostles of the New Testament are there, and every blood-washed, blood-bought child of God will gather in that church. They have perfect unity. They are in perfect harmony. They praise God with one mind and with one heart. They sing one song and one theme, and that's where my membership is, by the way. That's where my membership is. And we may serve in the visible church on earth, but the first and the most important thing is that we have our membership in heaven. I hope it's true for you as well, that you can say, that's my church. That's my home. That's my heavenly home, and it is my church. Now also, you'll see here in verse 23 that that's where God dwells, the judge of all. To the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all. And I thought that very interesting. God has not changed His character in heaven. He is the judge of all the earth. He is the righteous God who doeth right. And of course, He's the one who will administer justice at the judgment day, and He is Himself adorned with holiness. He dwells there in a righteous rule, and he fills heaven, his domain, with his law, with his love, and with his holiness. In the Old Testament tabernacle, there was written over the high priest's mitre, "Holiness to the Lord." Well, that's going to be placarded everywhere in heaven. He is the judge of all. And so heaven will be staked out unashamedly with God's upright, truth-loving, law-loving, magnificent holiness. And it's home to God, the judge of all the earth. You'll also notice number four, this is now verse 23 again, that heaven is home to those just men made perfect. Now, I want to clarify something here. It's not for just men. It's not only men, but it means the righteous. And of course, it's men and women. There will be sisters as well as brothers in heaven. But it refers to our justification. The only person that will be in heaven is the person who is made just or righteous by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone is a blood-washed and justified, righteous, possessing, born-again believer. And these are those who populate heaven. And there's no other way into heaven but by having the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And I hope that you have that today, and that you therefore are a candidate for heaven because you are made perfect. Now, we in ourselves on earth are not yet perfect, but when we are in heaven, we will be. We will be perfect. There will be no more doubts, no more fears, no more weaknesses, no more temptation, no more lapses into sin. There will be no need to confess sin. We will spend eternity with God in a perfect state. We will have a perfect body, a perfect mind. Now, it doesn't mean an infinite mind. We'll still be creatures, but we will have no imperfections. That is home. That's the glory that we are awaiting. Item number five in the list is verse 24, and that is to the Lord Jesus, the mediator, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And of course, heaven could not be heaven if Jesus was not there. He is really the focus of heaven. And as you enter heaven, you will see the Son of God in all his mediatorial glory, and you will know him and worship him as the mediator. Isn't this interesting? Now, when he left heaven, before he came down to earth and took a human body, he was not then known as the mediator. But since he has taken a human body and will never be divested of that body, Jesus will always exist in the human body that was created for him in Mary's womb. And that body by which he suffered on the cross with all the marks of crucifixion, you will look upon the Son of God and you will see him as your mediator, the one who reconciles, who fulfills the bridge between you and the God of heaven. And you will worship God always through the mediator. And that's the way on which we are perfect, and the way that we are worshiped is perfectly accepted in heaven. This same Jesus. In Acts 1:11, we read of Jesus' ascension, that he rose up into heaven bodily. That body, that same physical body, and we are told that he will come again. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And we will know him, worship him, spend all eternity with in heaven with our Lord Jesus as the mediator of the covenant. The sixth thing that is mentioned here in heaven, that it's home to the blood of Christ. Get that in verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So let the argument about Jesus' blood end here. Jesus' blood is not lost in Calvary, dripping into the sands of Calvary's earth.
The blood of Jesus is preserved. It is incorruptible blood. It is in heaven, and we will see the blood. And because of the perpetuity, the continual existence of the blood of Jesus in heaven, that blood will never lose its power. This is what gives the gospel its thrust, its potency for all time, because the blood will never lose its power. It's not lost. It's in heaven. And that blood is being presented by Jesus as our high priest before the Father as he intercedes and as he prays for us. And so rejoice today that though we are now 2,000 years almost from AD 33 when Christ's blood was shed as a sacrificial offering on the cross, that though all this time has lapsed, that blood is in heaven, preserved, presented, and it is powerful. And when you worship God, plead the blood. It's in heaven. And when you get into heaven, you will see the blood and you will sing about the blood.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us and staying tuned here with just a few comments or quotes on heaven by Mr. Spurgeon. Some of you could not be happy if you were allowed to enter heaven. Shall I tell you why? It is a land of spirit, and you have neglected your spirit. Some of you even deny that you have a spirit. Well, it is important that we are born again. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again," and I trust that today that you will consider the need to have a new heart, a new spirit, born of the Spirit, saved by grace. And then again he said, "I bear my testimony that there is no joy to be found in all this world like that of sweet communion with Christ. I would barter all else there is of heaven for that. Indeed, that is heaven. As for the harps of gold and the streets like clear glass and the songs of seraphs and the shouts of the redeemed, one could very well give all these up, counting them as a drop in a bucket, if we might forever live in fellowship and communion with Jesus. Whoever may have invented the doctrine of degrees in heaven, I do not know, but I believe there is as much foundation for it in Scripture as there is for the doctrine of purgatory, and no more. All the saints shall see their master's face." Well, that's quite a statement, and there ought to be no sense of being second-rated in heaven or of being a lower class in heaven. Everyone in glory will be beaming with the glory of the Savior. Mr. Spurgeon went on to say, to think of heaven without Christ. It is the same thing as thinking of hell. Heaven without Christ, it is day without the sun, existing without life, feasting without food, seeing without light. It involves a contradiction in terms. Heaven without Christ, absurd. It is the sea without water, the earth without its fields, the heavens without their stars. There cannot be a heaven without Christ. He is the sum total of bliss, the fountain from which heaven flows, the element of which heaven is composed. Christ is heaven, and heaven is Christ. Someone said to a Christian man, "What is your age?" And he replied, "I am on the right side of 70. They found out he was 75. And they said, "You told us you were on the right side of 70. "So I am," he answered. "That is the right side, for it is the side nearest heaven, my blessed home." Why should not all Christians think so? Well, is it not true? The nearer to glory, the nearer to heaven, the nearer to final and full satisfaction. God created us to dwell with him and live in his glorious presence. The true Christian life, when we live near to God, is the rough draft of the life of full communion above. That's merely to say that our best days on earth are not even equal to our wonderful days of God's glory in heaven. Above, beneath, around, within, without, everywhere it is heaven. I breathe heaven, I think, drink heaven, I feel heaven, I think heaven. Everything is heaven. Oh, what must it be to be there? To be there is to be with Christ. Well, that's the motto of a Christian. To be with Christ is far better. May the Lord bless you and encourage your heart today. And you have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope you have been blessed today through our ministry of the gospel. We have a wonderful Savior, and I invite you to trust in him as your Savior too. The Bible is very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Look it up in your Bible. Pray over that very verse for the wonderful promise of God's salvation. And I assure you, the Lord will save you. And if I can be of any personal help, or if I can send you a gospel booklet, encourage you and guide you, please send me an email to ltbsradio@gmail.com. When you email me, I can also sign you up to receive these programs each week as a podcast. My email again is ltbsradio@gmail.com. If you wish to write, send your letter to Let the Bible Speak, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. I trust that you will have a blessed week as you walk with the Lord and as you feed on his word. Remember that to abide in his word is the way to have the Lord abide in you.